Amen. Can we do that online? We're going to be a blessing to people in our community and make a difference. And so with that being said, we're going to dive into the Word. We're going to continue our series, Love and Happiness. And once again, if you miss any part of this series, if you missed last week's sermon, Between the Sheets, where we talked about intimacy, physically, sexual intimacy, I want you to go online, go back and listen to that, because I believe it's going to help us. And one of the things that we're going to do in this series, to end this series, is we're going to do a Q&A session. My wife and I, Ariel, we're going to have a Q&A session on all things relationships. And so we want you to submit your questions, whether you're online, whether you're in person. And the way that you can do that, here's the easiest way. We want you to text the word Love Series to 94,000. And what will happen is you will receive a text message with a link, and you click that link, and all you have to do at that point is submit whatever questions. Is totally anonymous. We're not asking for any information. We want you to ask whatever questions that you have pertaining to relationships, intimacy, dating, whatever it may be, because we want to open up the scriptures to give us truth, because it's the truth that sets us free. Amen, somebody? Well, let's all stand to our feet. We're just going to read God's word just for a brief moment. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 7 is what we're going to read today. And once again, grateful for our incredible team serving and making a difference. And if we could just turn these house lights up just a tad bit, just so I could, it's kind of dark up here, you know, with the Shekinah glory of the haze and the smoke. Oh, man, I love it, man, I love it. But here's what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, and I'm actually going to read down to verse 9. So 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 7 through 9, here's what it says. Paul the apostle is writing to believers in the church called Corinth. He's talking about marriage, but then he also begins to talk about something else. He says this, I wish that all people were as I am. Paul was single. But each has his own gift. Everybody say gift. Gift. Come on, say it loud. Everybody say gift. Gift. Each one has his own gift from God. One person has this gift. Another has that. Verse 8, I say to the unmarried and to widows, it is good for them if they remain as I am. But if they do not have self-control, they should marry, since it is better to marry than to burn with desire. Verse 7 is what I want to go back to. Here's what it says. I wish that all people were as I am, but each person has his own gift from God. One person has this gift, and another has that. So as we continue this series, Love and Happiness, I want to preach from the theme and thought, single but satisfied. Single but satisfied. Somebody say, I'm satisfied. Satisfied. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your presence and grace. I pray in this preaching moment, this holy, this sacred moment, as we open up your word, the scriptures, your word is active and alive, sharper than any two-edged sword. It is useful for correcting, rebuking, and training in righteousness, your word says. So I pray, God, that with open hearts, we would receive your word. Let it convict us. Let it comfort us. Let it compel us, but most of all, let it conform us to be like Jesus. We thank you and we love you in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen. Single but satisfied. You can be seated. Single but satisfied. Church family, as the Apostle Paul is writing to believers here in the Corinthian church, he writes to them and he's answering a plethora of questions. He's writing to them about different relational dynamics, physical intimacy. And he even now begins to also write and speak to the topic of singleness. God speaks to them ultimately through the Holy and Spirit-inspired words that Paul is receiving from the Spirit to pen this letter to go to the church. Corinthian church, just in case you don't know anything about it, Corinthian church was spiritually gifted, but also struggled in ways similar to the struggle that we experience today. Somebody say the struggle is real. The struggle is oftentimes real when it comes to this topic of relationships and when we're talking about love and happiness. Corinthian church found themselves existing in a very much of a hostile type of culture when it came to scripture. And Paul writes to them because, as I mentioned, evidently they had some questions about marriage, intimacy, singleness, relationships. How do we know this? Because in verse 1, here's what he says. Now in response to the matters you wrote about. He's writing and he's speaking here Because the believers had some questions. In other words, here's what the believers, if I was to contemporize it and try to zoom us into, transport us back 2,000 plus years ago into the minds, into the church of the believers here in Corinth, I think they would say something like this. Paul, we see what's going on in culture, Pastor Paul, but how are we supposed to function as believers? Because the struggle is real. The things around us are very appealing, Pastor Paul. We know what Jesus says. We know what he talked about on the Sermon on the Mount. We know all the things that you're talking about. But Paul, if we could just be real, Pastor, it's a struggle. We're struggling in our marriage. We're struggling with kids. We're struggling with intimacy issues. And for those of us who are single, some of them are saying, Paul, what you got to say to us? Because we hear what culture says, and if we were to be honest, culture has some very appealing pictures of what singleness could look like, Pastor. And I think we could all relate to this family because I believe many of us here have questions. I believe many of us may have questions, no matter if you're a teenager and you're watching this online, you may have questions, though you may not say anything. If you're a college, you're a young adult, you may have questions when it comes to this topic of relationships, but specifically as a single. You may have questions relationships relationship-wise if you are single and older. Some of you are maybe engaged, and some of us may be married and married with kids, and you got some questions. Culture says one thing, but then we hear Scripture saying something completely different. But specifically what I want to lean into today is what Paul begins to speak to regarding the matter of singleness to the church. Because Paul, if you notice, all throughout 1 Corinthians 7, he spends a good amount of time not just talking about marital relationships, but he also spends a significant amount of time here in 1 Corinthians 7 specifically talking about singleness. And I think this is a good question that the believers are asking. Because singleness, if we could be honest, church family, is not something that is always discussed in a way that is encouraging and edifying. I think oftentimes, even unfortunately in the body of Christ, singleness is not fleshed out in a edifying sense. I believe singleness oftentimes becomes very, very difficult, and especially even in a season like the one that we're in with this pandemic. And I believe a lot of it has to do with there not being an accurate understanding of singleness. So from the outset, we got to answer this question. What does it mean to be single? Because culture says one thing, but Scripture says something else. According to Scripture, being single means you're unmarried. It means unless you have stood before a pastor or a judge and have said those words, I do, this might not be good English, but it is proper theology, you are still single. You ain't said I do and have pledged your commitment to loving this person in sickness and in health till death do you part. You are still single. You're dating somebody? Might be an awesome relationship, but here's the reality. You are single. You single? Or better yet, you engaged? You are still single. If you're widowed, you're single. You are single. Now, singleness can sometimes be challenging, if we could just be real. Because there's many layers that can come with singleness. Single with kids, single maybe following the painful experience of divorce. Could be widowed and single, college student, young adult who's single, or even an older adult who's single. And in the midst of singleness being complex, our culture, our society doesn't help when it comes to understanding it properly. And as I was kind of preparing and praying into the message this week, I kind of boiled what culture's advice is and what culture's understanding of singleness is. And I think in many ways, if we could be honest, it may have also seeped down into our spirits and in our souls and also influences what we think about singleness. Here's a few things. Here's the first thing that culture oftentimes says about singleness. Culture's main thoughts when it comes to singleness. Thought number one, it should be avoided. That there's something wrong with you if you're single past, especially a certain age. Girl, you getting up in your 30s. You ain't married yet. What's wrong with you? You got your own money. You got your own degrees. You got your own space. You still single? Then you get to the 30s. You still single? Then you get to the 40s. You still single? Then you get to the 50s. Man, they just give up. But the spirit and the ethos of it is that it should be avoided, that being single is something that it speaks of you not being complete. It's like single, one, it's an odd number. There's something wrong with you if you're single. That's in many ways the culture of the mindset and the understanding that culture gives us when it comes to singleness, is that it should be avoided. This is why the rom-com, romantic comedy movies and romance movies are always so big. Movies like The Notebook and The Titanic, you know, I'm taking it back, and just other movies that are constantly creating this narrative that there's something wrong with you if you are single and everybody around you is getting married. There has to be something that's wrong with you. Culture puts up this image that singleness should be avoided. Like, it's okay for you to be single if you're in your early 20s, but by the time you get to close to 30 and you in your 30s, you should be married. Because singleness, on one side, culture says, should be avoided. And in many ways, it for all my millennials in here and Gen Zers, it captures the essence of what Justin Bieber says in his song, Lonely. I just feel lonely. I need to be with somebody. Because it's not good for me to be by myself. There's something wrong with me if I'm not in relationship with somebody. It should be avoided. But here's the second other thought. Here is the second major thought that culture gives us when it comes to understanding singleness, that it should not just be avoided. They say avoid it or exploit it. Avoid it or exploit it. What do I mean by exploit it? The other train of thought that culture gives when it comes to this topic of singleness is that if you're single, oh my gosh, do whatever you want and whoever you want. You single? Live your best life now. Be with whoever you want. It's all about you. You only live once. Do your thing, do your thing. In the words of Chris Brown and Young Thug, go crazy. You single? You ain't got no ring on your finger? Man, go crazy. Turn up. Go to every party. Go to every club. Be with every person. Do whatever it is that you want to do. Live like you won't live tomorrow and deal with the consequences later. Do you see? This is what culture says. Avoid it. Hurry up and get in a relationship with somebody because you're not complete if you're not married. Or the other side is, you ain't married? Man, go live. Do whatever you want to do. Live like that prodigal son in Luke chapter 15 where you stack up all the bread and then you go just spend it on all types of crazy living. And I don't know if y'all see the duplicitous nature in culture. Culture is talking out of both sides of the neck. And when that is the mentality, family, online, when we function from that disposition, both of these extremes, you know what they lead to? Drama, frustration, broken hearts, unforeseen events, missed opportunities, a lack of joy, a lack of fulfillment. Let me say it like this, a lack of satisfaction. Because being single, culture's way, doesn't lead to love and happiness. No, it leads to misery and emptiness. If we do what culture says do, then we get what culture gets. So then the question we have to ask ourselves is, how can I live satisfied as a single person? And I want to help us understand something, church family. This is not a message just for those of us who are single in here. This is a message for those of us who are married. This is a message for those of us who are young people. This is a message for those of us who are young adults, those of us who are college students. This is not one of the messages, oh, he's talking about singleness. Let me go ahead and, you know, turn this off. Let me help us understand something. This word is for all of us, but it's also a word that God wants us to receive so that way we can encourage other people with. It's in the Word of God, which means it's valuable no matter what stage and season of life you may be in. So how do I live single and satisfied? Because culture says if you're single, you're not going to really be able to live a satisfied life. Culture's way, being single, does not lead to satisfaction and joy, not one bit. So how, Pastor Paul, how, Pastor Edwin, can I live satisfied with my single self? How can I experience fulfillment in this season? It starts by, number one, understanding the perspective of singleness. And I'll add to that, the true perspective of singleness. Notice what Paul says in verse 7. I wish all people were as I am. Some translations in the NLT specifically, he says, I wish everyone were single just as I am. Yet each person has a special gift from God of one kind or another. What is the perspective that Paul wants us to get? He wants us to see that being single, just like being married family, is a gift from God. I don't know if y'all caught what I said. I thought y'all was gonna get a little bit more happy about that. It is a gift from God. And gift, this word gift in the Greek New Testament is the Greek word charisma, which means grace gift. In other words, God gives us the grace to be single if we're single. In other words, it is valuable. It's a gift, not a curse. It's a blessing, not a burden. Why? Because if God gave it, that means it's good. And for many, being single, family, is looked upon as being less than or not valuable. But Paul is saying it's the opposite, family. It's a gift. And it's a great gift. And I don't know if you know this or not, church family, God is the giver of every good and perfect gift. Matter of fact, that's what the Bible says in James chapter 1, verse 17. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, who does not change, watch this, like shifting shadows. In other words, God is not inconsistent in his nature. He doesn't say, I'm going to give a good gift to the married folk and to the single folk, y'all on your own. No. He says, it's a gift. Somebody say, it's a gift. Which means it has value. But what culture will say is that it is not a gift, it is a burden. Or what culture will also say, it's not a gift, but it's a license to go do whatever it is that you want to do. And Paul is like, no, fam, this thing is a gift. And it's a gift from God. And we can't call bad what God calls good. And any gift that God gives is good. Watch this, and it's for our good. Some of us have this incorrect theology thinking that God is in heaven waiting to rain down curses. God's like, no, I'm not like that. I gave you the greatest gift in the form of my son, Jesus Christ. I am the good and perfect gift giver. Santa Claus ain't got nothing on me. King Kong don't got nothing on me. God says, no, family. This is who I am. This is what I do. Remember in week one, we talked about how God is love. And everything that comes from his hand comes from a posture of love. That's his nature. Love is not just what he does. Love is who he is. And so if he gives us this gift of singleness, we got to understand it's a gift. That's the perspective that we got to have. And oftentimes, it's our perspective of the gifts that causes us to either appreciate them or not. Have y'all ever got a bad gift from somebody? Some of y'all not going to admit it because you may have came with somebody today or watching with somebody right there, and they're like, they gave a bad gift, but I ain't never want to tell it. You know it's a bad gift when you go re-gift and give it to somebody else. Don't act like y'all so safe you ain't never did that before. Y'all know what I'm talking about? You done got a bad gift from people, and you're like, okay. It's the thought that counts. God says, no, I don't give bad gifts. I give good gifts. God is so good, family. He don't just give you what you need. He'll go above and beyond and even give you what you want. That's what the Bible says in Psalm 37. Delight yourself in the Lord, watch this, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Because now what happens is when I align myself with the heart of God, what I begin to recognize is whatever God wants, I recognize is the most valuable thing for me to have. So in all actuality, I want what God wants. So if what God wants for me is to possess this gift of singleness, whether it's for a season, some of y'all might not receive this, but it's the truth, or for life, it's a good gift. God says, no, this is my nature. I give you good gifts because I care about you. I love you. You are my beloved. I created you in my likeness and in my image. And it's easy sometimes, family, and I'm talking to single people, I'm talking to single young adults, I'm talking to single students, I'm talking to single who may be widows and single with kids. It's easy sometimes to believe the lie of culture that says you are inadequate or incomplete because you are single. But I want to push back against that lie from the pit of hell and tell you this. In Jesus, you are complete. I thought I would get a few more amens right there. In Jesus, maybe I'm getting them online. I can't hear or see y'all, but maybe it's online. In Jesus, you are complete. In Jesus, you have everything that you need. Some of y'all may not remember this movie from back in the day, back in the mid-90s, but it was a movie by the name of Jerry Maguire and played by Tom Cruise. Tom Cruise played the guy by the name of Jerry Maguire, and he was kind of like a swindler, and he was taking advantage of people, and towards the end of the movie, you know, he kind of recognized that there was this young lady he kind of took advantage of, that this was his true love, and he ran up in a little women's meeting that she and her friends were having where we just huddled around each other, dogging men, talking about how men were dogs, and he stormed into the house, and he said, "You complete me." And every single woman almost, when that movie came out, said, "I want a man like Tom Cruise who comes in and says, I complete him." Family, I want you to understand, in Jesus, you're already complete. You don't need a man or a woman to complete you. You are already complete in Christ. My wife, Ariel, does not complete me. She complements me. There's a difference. I am whole in Jesus. It is not two halves make a whole. No, it's two wholes coming together to be whole. As a single person, I am whole in Jesus Christ. You are not incomplete. You are not inadequate. Don't take it the other way and say, "I'm enough." I'm not saying that. I'm saying Jesus is your enough. And in him, you are made whole. In him, you are complete. Here's what the Bible says, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. His divine power has given everything required for life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him. In other words, family, in Jesus, if you are single, you have everything you need. In him, he is enough. Jesus gave his life for you on the cross to set you free from sin's grip over your life. Why? Because you are valuable to him. I need somebody to say, "I'm valuable." I need somebody to type, "I'm valuable." You are valuable in Jesus Christ. You may be single. You may be, your relationship status may even say it's complicated. But I want you to know, in Jesus Christ, you are valuable, you have worth, you have identity, you have giftedness, you have abilities, you have everything that you need in Jesus Christ. Do not believe the lie of culture that says you need a person to make you whole. Jesus says, "I am your person who makes you whole." In Jesus, you have all that you need for life and for godliness. Let me say it like this. I want you to take a screenshot of it. If you're here in the building, online, do the same. I want you to write this down. Being single means you've been set apart, not set aside. You've been set apart, not set aside. So when people try to come to you and say, "Why you ain't married yet?" "Oh, I just been set apart." Don't you want to be married? "Oh, it'd be cool to be married, but you know what? If it never happens, I'm good." "Man, well, isn't that a problem? Like, don't you really want to be married? It would be great, but you know what? I'm complete and whole in Jesus." I've been set apart, not set aside. Just because my relationship status may say single does not mean that I'm not worth anything. It doesn't mean that I've been set aside. It doesn't mean that I'm God's scraps in the kingdom. No, not one bit. It's the complete opposite. And I want to help us understand something, family. I don't know if you knew this or not. Not everyone will get married in life. Never get no amens on that one. And that's okay. Culture says it's something wrong if you never get married. But scripture's like, no. It's actually okay if you never get married, because to each one has a gift So some, you might have the gift of singleness maybe for a season, and you experience some loss, and then you find yourself experiencing singleness again if you were married. And for some, you might go your whole life being in the gift of marriage, but nonetheless, it is a gift, and either one is okay. And that's why Paul says, I wish all of y'all were just like me. But you know what? To each his own. Some of y'all got the gift of marriage over your life. That's awesome. We celebrate it. Some of y'all got the gift of singleness. And family, in case you don't believe what I'm saying, there were many people in the Bible who lived single their whole life. Can I give you a short list? John the Baptist. The guy that's writing this letter, the Apostle Paul. Guy by the name of Elijah in the Old Testament. Mary Magdalene. Mary and Martha, Lazarus' sisters. A woman in the New Testament by the name of Dorcas and Anna. And most of all, Jesus. If Jesus lived life satisfied as a single, why would we bow to the lie of the enemy that says you are not complete until you get married? Because then that will suggest that Jesus did not live a fulfilled and satisfied life. And I think we can all agree that that would be incorrect. You are valuable. Singleness is a beautiful gift. Somebody say, I'm gifted. Somebody write in the chat, I'm gifted. I want to encourage those of us in here who may be single. And I get it, you may be a little frustrated because you want to be married and you see people around you getting married. You may be in a later stage of life and you're trying to figure out, man, when am I going to get married? I want to encourage you to let you know, in the midst of some of the desires that you may have, I want to give you some peace of mind and helping you to understand, in Jesus Christ, you are complete. You are gifted. And if God desires to send somebody into your life at some season, we will celebrate that. You can celebrate that as well, but I want you to understand that you don't have to wait to get a wedding ring to celebrate your worth, because in Jesus Christ, you are complete, in Jesus Christ, you are whole, in Jesus Christ, you are gifted. Gifted, which now leads to the second portion of singleness, which I want to acknowledge, which is the pressures of singleness. Notice what Paul says in verses 8 through 9. I say to the unmarried and to the widows, it is good for them if they remain as I am. But if they do not have self-control, they should marry, since it is better, watch this, to marry than to burn with desire. Paul's statement that it's better to marry than burn with desire, here's what Paul is helping us to understand. It speaks of the pressures and the temptations that can come and that oftentimes come with the gift or season of singleness. That as a single person, can we just keep it real, sexual temptations and temptations do arise. And I think one of the biggest reasons why people stay in strongholds, even in the church, is because we don't talk about it. So we try to just spiritualize it away. If you just pray a little bit more. No, that's not, no, no. If you're, no, you shouldn't be having those type of desires. What you mean? Temptation is real. Somebody say the struggle is real. And as a single, there are temptations that arise, and not just temptations, there's pressures that arise. The pressure of loneliness can creep in on us. And I get it and I understand it. In our culture and even people that we know who may mean well, sometimes, family, if we could be honest, I think some of us can be honest and say, I've been frustrated by this. People have put unnecessary pressure on you to get married or even to remain single for the wrong reasons. So we have this pressure and we have this temptation. And I understand the church family. Some of y'all came in here, you're like, man, Pastor, I'm tired of being alone. Tired. But I want you to understand, there's a difference between being single and being alone. Just because you're single does not mean you have to be alone. Let me say it like this. You may be single, but you are not alone. How do I know this to be true? Number one, because Jesus says in his word, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Which means even if you are single, Jesus is saying, I'm with you right there, bro. Girl, I'm with you right there through the struggle. I'm with you. Jesus does not abandon you just because your relationship status says single. And I understand even in a season like this, like the one that we're in, where physical distancing is taking place and not being able to be around people like before is extremely hard. Temptations arise, and it's hard to say no. And I want us to encourage us with this thought, that it's hard, but it doesn't have to be a handicap. That I might be going through the pressures of singleness, but it does not have to be a restriction to me walking in the fullness and experiencing the joy and the satisfaction that God wants me to experience in this season. I know COVID has made it hard, especially for those of us who are single, where there wasn't any physical connection with people like usual. There wasn't therapeutic connections in the form of simple things like a hug, a high five, being around people that you care about and that also care about you. I understand, and I feel your pain. I might not be able to understand it fully because I got a house of five, and it's full of nothing but contact and jumping around and all of that, but I empathize with you because I know it's hard, and I understand that it's hard. And it grieves me sometimes in a season like the one that we're in, where we will make blanket statements. Man, we just need to stay away from everybody. That's easy for you to say when you got people in your house. And what God calls us to be is to be sensitive to the struggles of other people. It's pressure in this season. Pastor, it's easy for you to stay pure and to say stay pure and stay whole, you know, when you got a marriage where y'all can worship God. You know, we got kids in the room, like, yeah. They be like, worship, worship. But I'm single, bruh. How do I handle this? That's what Paul was writing to. Because the believers have some honest questions, and I think that's real, man. We got to deal with it. For those of us who are single, I know it's been a struggle during this pandemic over this past year. I know you've had the pressures. All of us have had pressures. Pressure looks different in every season and every relationship, different in every person, different from another person. And the pressures that many of us are dealing with as singles, man, it's at a whole nother level. I understand. I don't dismiss it. That's why I have so much empathy, because I'm like, man, I feel you. I feel you. But in the midst of it being hard, family, it don't got to be a handicap. Because God always provides. It's hard, it's difficult. And I know even in these times of pressure in the form of different temptations as well, it is easy to be tempted to abandon God's way. But I want to encourage us, don't you dare think about giving into the pressure and the temptations of singleness that don't lead to satisfaction God's way. I want to encourage you today to let you know that you don't have to bow to the temptations of the enemy in this season to compromise your integrity, to go against the word of God because you're trying to meet a legitimate need in an illegitimate way. I want to encourage you to let you know that you got God fighting for you. You got spiritual family around you. There is still people around you that God has strategically placed in your life for you to still be connected to in some way. But in this season, the struggle is real and the temptations do arise. And it's easy to compromise in a season like this. Not just in the pandemic, but just in a season of singleness as any other season. And I want to encourage us to do what 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 22 says. We don't have it on the screen, unless Garrett is just really good back there. We're picking that up right now. And he is. He could probably do it really quick. But in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 22, it says to flee the appearance of evil. And he's really good. And the word of admonition that I want to give us is to flee the appearance of evil, single family. Don't fall into the trap. Don't take the thirst trap. We preached a sermon on that last year called Swipe Right series. Go back and listen to it. Don't take the bait of Satan. Flee the appearance of sin. I know it's hard. I know it's a struggle. But by the grace of God, you are able to do it. What do I mean by fleeing the appearance of evil and fleeing evil as well? You are going to be tempted even physically. You need to flee the appearance of evil. You need to flee the potential position for you to be in to engage in premarital activity that's outside of the will of God. Flee that. Somebody say flee. You got to flee the appearance of evil, which means as a single person, I can't put myself in compromising situations where I can easily fall. So this is where cohabitation comes into the mix, especially in a season like the one that we're in right now.
And it's not about being legalistic. It's about trying to operate in purity. Like, I want to honor God in this season, which means I don't want to put myself in a compromising situation where I could take an L. Because the struggle is real. And let's just be real, family. For those of us who may be single, that temptation comes. You know what? Maybe it'd be easier just for us to live together, move together, move in together. But we mean well spiritually. Like, we're not going to do nothing. We're going to have boundaries. Let me help us understand something, family. If you are living in a space with somebody who is not your spouse and you are attracted to them, and they look good, the glory of God shining upon their life, and you pay attention to how God has physically fashioned them, eventually, if you are in this environment that is full of fire, remember what we talked about last week, how intimacy is like a fire, that it can warm your house when it is contained in the proper way, but when it gets out of its proper environment, it can burn the whole house down. And I'm not judging, I'm being real and honest. We got to put ourselves in situations that we can win. And oftentimes what happens is, whether we're married or single, this goes for all of us, no matter what stage of life you're in, what we'll oftentimes do is we will put ourselves in lose-lose situations and then ask God to give us the victory. He's sitting up like, what? But you know what? Because he's still a good and faithful God, he still saves you. Y'all ought to praise God for the fact that you done got yourself in some stuff that you did not deserve to get out of. You got real close, and you knew you were about to take an L, and you said, Lord, have mercy on me. You didn't deserve it. You didn't deserve to get out of it. But God, who is rich in mercy and grace, said, you don't deserve what I'm going to do for you, but I'm going to still snatch you out of it. That's what God does, family, because he's loving like that. And in the midst of him being loving like that, I don't want to put myself in compromising situations where the only time I'm talking to God is asking him to rescue me from things that I put myself into. Because he's given me not a spirit of fear, but one of love, power, watch this, and a sound mind. It's not sound to put myself in compromising situations. It's just a fact. Let me just be honest and transparent with y'all. Let me just be real. My wife and I, we have these type of conversations all the time when we kind of, you know, talk about our journey when we were dating and, you know, being in college and stuff like that. And I would oftentimes tell her things like, and I still tell her to this day, you know, I go to the gym right now and I'm working out, mask on and all this type of stuff. And I'm going to just be y'all ready for this. I'm going to be real. Oftentimes there are people who are dressed at the gym in a very, very revealing way. And they're not revealing the character of Christ. Y'all ain't going to be real with me today. So I have to be intentional with removing myself from potential opportunities where there can be some bit of closeness or proximity. Y'all ain't gonna be real with me today. So if I see somebody that is revealing not Christ, but trying to, revealing curves, I'm the other way. I was going to do bench press over here and triceps and all that. I'm just going to get on the treadmill today. I'm out. I got to do that as a married person. As a single person, I'm going to be real with you, it was even more difficult to do. Because it's like, I mean, y'all ain't going to be real. I ain't married. Why y'all being fronting with me today? The struggle is real. You know, I ain't with nobody, you know. And it's easy to take the bait of Satan. And single family, I want you to understand that in Jesus, you can fight off the temptations and the pressures that can come in this season. How can you say that, Pastor Edwin? You don't know what I'm dealing with, and you don't know the type of struggles that I go through, and you don't know the type of temptations that I go through. You are absolutely right. But here's something that I do know. There is somebody who knows exactly what you're going through. You don't believe me? Here's what the Bible says. I said this last week. I'm going to quote it again. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15 says this. We do not have a high priest, meaning Jesus, who is unable to empathize with our weakness. Watch this. We have one who has been tempted in every way just as we are. Not were, are. Every way that we are currently tempted, Jesus can identify with. But then the Bible says this at the end of Hebrews 4, 15. Yet he did not sin. In other words, Jesus too experience temptations in his singleness, just the way that many of us who are single experience temptations today. I said this last week, and I'm gonna say it again. You don't believe that them little first century Hebrew Jewish girls back in the day saw Jesus and his whole cut up figure? He was a carpenter, which means he did a whole lot of work with his hands. My Jesus was not soft, he was actually strong. You don't believe that the little thirsty girls was coming around here? Oh, they go Mary boy. They go Joseph's son, he look good too. I know he the Messiah. And I know, I done heard about how he can save, I want to find out. you don't think that Jesus didn't experience what we experienced when the Bible says he was tempted in every way just like us? It's not a sin to be tempted. The sin is when I act on the temptation in an ungodly way. Like, I can't help sometimes to experience some of the things that I experience. There are some moments where I can avoid putting myself in situations where temptation can take place, but then there's other times where you could just be minding your own little business and the enemy comes out of nowhere with stuff. Jesus experienced that, but yet he did not sin. Why is this good news? Because he was tempted by the enemy in every way, even physically, but he did not sin, which means that now through Jesus, he gives us the strength to endure our temptations and pressures. In other words, because of Jesus, you don't have to bow to the pressures of singleness. Let me say it like this. Pastor Rich Wilkerson said this. I love it. He says, don't forsake your convictions for convenience. Take a sneeze. Screenshot it. I think we got it up. Don't forsake your convictions for convenience. In other words, don't compromise on what the scripture says simply because you want to meet a temporary need. He says, don't compromise. Hold fast to the convictions of scripture. Have a standard. Somebody say standard. Set a standard. Fall in line with that standard. I know it's not going to be popular, and I know everybody will be telling you to do the complete opposite, but God is saying, I've given you all the strength through the power of my Holy Spirit, through the grace that I put on your life to be able to endure the temptations. Why? Because my son did it for you. Which now leads to this third and final point, that if we're going to be able to be single and satisfied, it starts with understanding the right perspective of singleness and not just the pressures of singleness, but now the purpose of singleness. So when you look at verses 32, jump down in chapter 7, verse 32, he says, I want you to be without concerns. The unmarried man is concerned about the things of the Lord, how he may please the Lord. But the married man is concerned about the things of the world, how he may please his wife, and his interests are divided. The unmarried woman or virgin is concerned about the things of the Lord, so that she may be holy both in body and in spirit. But the married woman is concerned about the things of this world, how she may please her husband. Verse 35, I am saying this for your own benefit, not to put a restraint on you, but to promote what is proper. And so that you may, watch this, be devoted to the Lord without distraction. What is Paul giving us a picture of? He is giving us a picture of the purpose of singleness. Because culture says the purpose of singleness is to do as you want. Scripture tells us the purpose of singleness is to honor God. Let me boil it down like this. The purpose of singleness, in a nutshell, ready for this? It's two things. To seek Jesus and to serve Jesus. It's simple. I ain't say it was easy, but it's simple. Seek Jesus, serve Jesus. The purpose, write this down. The purpose of singleness is not to live for myself, but to live for Jesus. That's the purpose of singleness. It's not to live for myself. It's to live for Jesus. So I focus on the Lord in this season. Single family, I want you to understand, there are many things that you all could do that married people cannot do. And it's a gift. And the reverse is true. Married people, there are certain things that you can do that single people cannot. But each is a gift. And there is a time and a place for everything. But when we begin to misinterpret the times and the seasons and we try to operate in a certain gift or a certain space or a certain lane outside of his purpose, that's what leads to pain. because you're using something outside of the purpose in which it was actually crafted and created in the first place. As a single person, church friend, I want to encourage you, for those of us who are watching online, those of us who are single in person, I want to encourage you, you have so much potential to make incredible moves for the kingdom of God in this season. It doesn't mean you can't enjoy the godly friendships. It doesn't mean you can't enjoy the freedoms that God blesses you with in this season. It just means what should characterize your life is knowing Jesus better and making him known to others. Which means you use your time to serve Jesus. You use your abilities to serve Jesus. You use your resources to serve Jesus. What does this look like in our church? It means that if you're a single person, this is a great opportunity for you to join a team and serve, whether you serve in person or serve online, to be in a different connect group. Matter of fact, some of us who are single, you can be in every single connect group. You have that option. If I'm in every connect group that we offer, we're gonna have problems in our house. It means you can serve in the community. Not that married people can't serve in the community, but you are only focused on yourself. You only have one calendar to manage. So it means you have more margin. And I am grateful for the many single men and women in our church who devote their time, their efforts, their resources, their energy to pointing people to Jesus, to serving in our church, to giving to our church. And I want to encourage us single people, this is the season to maximize your gift. It's the season to do it. It's the season to maximize your liberties to advance the kingdom of God. And you may even still have a desire to marry, and there's nothing wrong with that either. But in the meantime, I'm going to use my life and my ability and my resources to advance the kingdom of God, to help people see Jesus. And let me give us another little nugget to apply to your season of singleness, because culture oftentimes says that singleness has one goal in mind: get married. God says that's not the purpose of singleness. Let me say it like this. Marriage is not the goal in being single. Following Jesus is. That's the goal. That in this season of being single, I may want to get married. You may even plan out your wedding in this season. That's okay. Do that. Say yes to the dress before you say yes to the dress. But in this season, my heart is going to be tied and tethered to the things of God. You know what's really interesting? I wanted to share this because this is profound. Some of our finance team actually shared with me this past week. I don't know if y'all know, y'all don't know this, but I'm gonna tell you. That the greatest financial contributors in our church are single people. And specifically, single women. And do you know what that reminds me of? That was the ministry of Jesus. Because we give the apostles and the disciples a whole lot of fanfare. But who showed up at the grave and at the tomb on Sunday morning first? It won't Peter, James, and John and them boys. They were scared and shook at the Roman guards. It was Mary and them. Somebody say Mary and them. It was Mary and them who went to the tomb. Do you know who the first people were that went and told the good news of the fact that Jesus had resurrected, which we're going to celebrate every Sunday, obviously, in a few Sundays from now on Easter Sunday? It was godly women. Godly women, family, have been carrying and leading the church in many ways for centuries. And many of them have been single. And I praise God for the godly, single men and women that we got in our church that say, in this season where I may want to be married, I'm going to use my gifts, I'm going to use my resources, I'm going to use my abilities to advance the kingdom and to build the church so more people can experience a rebuild in their own lives. It don't mean that married people don't give. It just means that single people say, you know what, I got a little bit more. I'm going to use what I got. Instead of buying all these spectacular vacations, which you can do too. And I'm not saying there's nothing wrong with doing that. Do that. Get your degrees right now. Do all of that. But here's what I want you to understand. This season of singleness is a beautiful opportunity for you to advance the kingdom of God in a way that you may not be able to do as a married person. Because you got a little bit more margin and you may have a little bit more freedom in some of the resources that you may have. And I want to encourage you in this season, family, to seek Jesus and to serve
Jesus. Here's what Matthew 6:33 says, and I'm going to close with this. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be provided for you. What can you do in this season, church family? If I'm single, what would Paul say to us as he said to the Corinthian church? Seek Jesus, serve him, and everything else will be taken care of in your life. Every need that you have will be met. Every void in your life will be satisfied. Because in Jesus, you will recognize that he is more than enough. That you don't need a relationship to make you whole. That you don't need a relationship to make you complete. No. In this season, even if you've been single for years, you may have that desire to be married. I want you to know, if it never happens, you are worth so much to God. You have so much value in his eyes. You are the apple of his eye. If you never experience gifts in another season, in marriage, for the rest of your life, I want you to understand that that was never the goal. The goal was always to be one with Jesus. And you got him. You got everything you need. And if God decides and desires to send somebody your way, you know what you do with that gift too? You celebrate it. You give God thanks for that too. Why? Because it is a good gift. This is also a word for some of us who are married, because some of us don't look at our marriages as a gift from God. I'm gonna get into that next week. God says it's all a gift. Don't misuse it. Use it for the right reason. Use it to add value to other people's lives. Your worth is so incredible. And I don't want anybody to walk out of these doors or to log off online thinking what culture says, that it should be avoided or it should be exploited. No, it should be stewarded for the kingdom of God. You're single, yes, but in Jesus Christ, you can be satisfied. Here's another example. John chapter 4, Jesus is having this conversation with the Samaritan woman. They have this deep theological conversation. Jesus gets real savage and he says, hey, go call your husband so we can all talk. And she was like, I don't have no husband. And he was like, you're right. You've had five and the one that you're with right now is not yours. Well, dog, Jesus just blew my spot all the way up. They had this continued conversation. Her eyes are open to see him as the Messiah. She came to that well where they met to talk, to draw water at the hottest portion of the day, because she probably did not want to deal with the shame of broken relationships that she had experienced, and even possibly being exploited by her previous husbands. And so she, in many ways, family, she was single. And she came there trying to find fulfillment, trying to quench the thirst physically that was really an indicator of something spiritually that she needed. And she has this conversation in this face-to-face moment with Jesus. And she recognizes that he is the one that she really has been longing for her whole life and didn't recognize it. And the Bible says she left the conversation and she left the water jar right there with Jesus. And she goes to the whole town and tells everybody, come see a man who told me everything I ever did. You know what her relationship status was? Single. And the Bible says that the whole town, for the most part, came to know Jesus. Because she recognized that her satisfaction was not attached to her relationship status, but her satisfaction was attached to the Savior. And I want to encourage us today to remind us and let us know, family, you may be single, but just as she got satisfied, you too can experience the same. Someone has to stand to a feet. In this moment, some of us are in different seasons of life. Single with kids, young adult single, college single, engaged but still single, dating but still single, you're widowed, you're older. I know many of us are in different seasons of life. But the promise that I'm going to give us today is, no matter where you are, you might be single, but in Jesus, you can be satisfied. You can be whole. You don't have to go to the wells and the fountains of culture to experience satisfaction. No, no, no. You can come to the well that never runs dry. His name is Jesus. He fills you. He satisfies you. And he wants to do that in the season. You want to experience love and happiness? Not the Al Green kind, but the Jesus kind? You come to him. You ask him to fill you. You ask him to renew you. So I'm just going to ask with heads bowed and eyes closed in this moment. And I want you to do something maybe that might be a little uncomfortable. I want to encourage you right now to lift up your hands. It is a sign and a representation of Jesus, would you fill me? Would you satisfy me? Would you renew me? I pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, for every single person who has their hands lifted online and in person, that you would fill their cups. I pray for my single brothers and sisters watching online and here in person, that you would fill them, that you would satisfy them, that they would recognize the purpose of this single season that they are in. It's a season, it can be a season of joy, that as they devote themselves to seeking you with all their heart, mind, soul, and strength, and serving you with all their heart, mind, soul, and strength, I pray in the name of Jesus that you would fill their cups. Fill them. I pray, God, when times of discouragement and temptation and pressure come, I pray that you would remind them that you are with them, never to leave them nor forsake them. That they have value in your eyes. That you are there to comfort them. In Jesus' name. My head's bowed and eyes are closed. If you're here today, some of you are watching this online, some of you are here in person, and you have never invited Jesus into your space, into your heart, into your life. You've never received him as Lord and Savior. Today is the day that he is knocking on your heart and says, would you let me fill your heart? Would you let me satisfy your heart? Would you let me cleanse you of all of your sin, all of your brokenness, all of your shame, past, present, and future? Would you let me step in and do that today? If that is you and you're saying, Pastor Edwin, I have never asked Jesus to step into my life and to save me from my sin. Today, I want to say yes to Jesus. If this is your desire, I want you to say these words after me. Say, Jesus, I believe in you. I believe that you died for my sins. I believe that you raised back to life to give me life and to give me freedom. Jesus, be my Lord. Jesus, be my Savior. Thank you for new life. Thank you for satisfying me. Thank you for filling me with your Holy Spirit. In your name I pray. And every person said amen. Come on, church family. I want us to celebrate every single person who said yes to Jesus. Come on, online. I want us to make some noise. Come on, here in person. Make some noise for every single person who's experiencing fulfillment, joy. Come on, you better satisfaction.